Hello, everyone. This is Dark Journalist. Today, I have a special episode for you. Part two of our deep interview with Dr. Joseph Farrell. Now, in part one, Dr. Farrell unpacked the propaganda around the war between Russia and Ukraine, separating fact from fiction. In this episode, he'll go even deeper, looking at Putin's main strategy and the deep state push for World War III. He also looks at UFO encounters at Voronezh in Russia, the site of a major plane crash at the start of the war. All is not as it seems.
I can't bring myself to trust a government that has lied so much on other things that it wouldn't lie on something like this.
Please join us now.
If the Republicans do take control of the Congress, which I suspect they will do, yeah. If they think they're going to get away with just running a bunch of investigations for show, they're sorely mistaken. They are going to have to do something. They're going to actually have to make an effort to fix some of this crap.
Right.
Otherwise, they're going to go the way of the Democrats. Their brand name is almost equally as bad in terms of the corruption, in terms of people's perception of it.
Oh, yeah. No question about it.
The days of Lindsey Graham sit on our butts and pretend that we're going to do something about all this are over. They are over.
Oh, well, they're doing the same rhetoric as the, you know, MSNBC part is in terms of Putin. They're like,
oh, yeah,
we'll get that Putin, you know. And there's no diplomacy. I mean, think about JFK during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Right.
How easy would it have been to just to demonize the other side? But
right.
You know, setting up all those things that he set up, diplomacy in the background,
right.
The plan to get out of it.
Right.
These guys seem to want to go in there. As a matter of fact, I've been reading articles, and they're the strangest articles about, well, you know, if there was a nuclear exchange, like it was bound to happen, you know, these those types of trial balloons in the major media. I mean, unbelievable thing.
Well, Kennedy, let's remember something. Nikita Khrushchev was known in the Ukraine as the butcher of Kiev.
Oh, wow.
Because he was Stalin's commissar in the Ukraine during the collectivization of the farms in the Ukraine. So it was Nikita Khrushchev that was ultimately responsible for rounding up all those tens of thousands of kulaks in the Ukraine and shipping them off to the gulag.
Amazing.
Okay. Now, there's a guy that if you're going to accuse of being some sort of genocidal maniac like they're trying to pin on Putin, there's a guy that honestly deserved the label.
Yeah.
You know, one of Stalin's trusted henchmen. And such a turd in the punch bowl that he turns on Stalin after Stalin's dead and exposes all of Stalin's crimes,
yes,
except for the ones he was involved in.
Now, amazing. Yeah.
But my point is, if there's anybody that Kennedy could have attacked at a personal level, it was Nikita Khrushchev.
Yes.
But he didn't.
Yes.
Incredible. He was wagering that there was still enough humanity left in Khrushchev to back away from the course that they were both on.
No question. And
now what do we have?
This is the thing. Anthony Blinken?
Exactly. This is my point.
I mean, I would love it if we had the right leaders, but it's an upside down situation.
Totally.
And instead you have the CIA trying to drum things up and make it worse there.
Right.
And they were the ones who went in and staged the coup in 14 anyway.
Right.
So right.
I have to wonder, you know, given the left-leaning tendencies of people like Clapper and Brennan and so on, I have to wonder if the real reason that they hate Putin is that Putin has basically turned his back on the whole communist experiment and period.
Oh.
Whereas our leadership, you know, they are radically left-wing. And there's very little to tell the difference between a genuine Soviet-era communist and some of these people that we have in our intelligence services. I have to wonder.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, our leaders are more, they look more interested in that centralization Soviet style than those guys do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, Putin is building Russian Orthodox churches and we're trying to bomb them. You know, this is the difference. So, you know, I look at this whole thing and I hate to say it, but if there's a balance of insanity, you know, the balance of insanity during the Cold War was, you know, which one of us is insane enough to start the war?
Right.
Well, right now, the balance of insanity is, as far as I can tell, squarely and heavily on our side. Not on Russia's.
Absolutely.
And for that matter, really not even on the Ukraine's. It's squarely in the good old USSA. Yeah, it's frightening to me.
It's the expansionist tendency in this thing.
Yes.
In the deep state. Kolomoisky, who's behind Zelensky and that whole... You know, you talked about them before, about supporting those Nazi brigades. And then Zelensky, who's a Jew, giving awards to this battalion and the battalion joining their general army. And then Putin saying part of the terms of peace is denazification.
Right.
And it has some teeth, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. People don't realize what Putin is talking about when he's calling for the denazification of the Ukraine. But you can go online and look at the symbols that some of those Ukrainian military units are displaying, and they are right out of World War II Waffen-SS divisional insignia.
Amazing.
I mean, you know, the Azov battalion has, I believe, the insignia for the... 2nd SS Panzer Division, Das Reich, it was called, you know, and it had its own special symbol to denote the division. So it's an exact copy.
Wow.
So, you know, it's no wonder the Russians are a little put off by Ukrainians demanding that they not speak Russian and killing Russians if they should do so.
Are you losing 20 million people?
Yeah, right.
You're gonna have
some issues with displays of German SS symbols. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's for that matter, if you're Ukrainian, you're gonna have some issues with Russians riding into your country because you know the last time that happened, Khrushchev.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
So you know, the bad history here is what's in play, and. I'm afraid, again, that the Ukrainians are allowing the West to play them for fools.
It's unfortunate, yeah.
It is very unfortunate.
And yet Ukraine has been at the center of everything from Trump's impeachment, Burisma, Hunter Biden's laptop.
Yep.
So it's been there. It is this galloping thing over the last decade, and somehow it's the center of all this activity, and now it's war.
It's a maelstrom of corruption.
Right.
It's a maelstrom of corruption. It's almost as if, and I've even toyed with this scenario, Daniel, to try and comprehend all of this. It's almost as if the rape of Russia scenario, pardon me, were instituted in the Ukraine. And it has been successful there because there was no counterbalancing force in the Ukraine to act against it, as eventually occurred inside of Russia. There was no FSB to come riding in to save the day and get rid of Yeltsin and all of that stuff. There was no parallel development that you saw inside of Russia with the church basically taking over and making sure the Russian nuclear deterrent did not fall apart. That was the church that did that.
Wow.
There was nothing similar inside the Ukraine, either in terms of their military or their intelligence or their ecclesiastical organizations to put the brake on that process. So I think you've got a rape of the Ukraine scenario where the West has picked its favored oligarchs inside that country and has just been using the country as one big laboratory, money laundering, you know, turned it into a mafia operation.
Insane. Wow.
It is insane. It really is. Because they deserve better.
Yeah, absolutely. And you feel terrible for the people caught in the middle.
Oh, absolutely.
Of these forces.
Yes.
And even the Russian justification, you know, it's like at the end of the day, people on the ground get hurt.
Right.
What's interesting for me, a couple of interesting signatures popped up right when it started, and I thought of you immediately. One of them was a plane, one of the really high-powered new versions of these Russian planes, went down in Voronezh right on the first or second day of this war. And I just remember thinking, oh, you know, and it's supposed to be like, you know, user error or something malfunction. And it went down in Voronezh, and Voronezh was the site of a major UFO.
Oh, yes.
You remember this one?
Yes, I do. Yes.
And the police chief and major media, 1989.
Yeah, that the Voronezh UFO came out after, either shortly before the fall of the Soviet Union or shortly after. I remember what you're talking about because they did documentaries on Russian TV, and it was
major case.
It was a major case that the KGB, if I remember correctly, was involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't that one? That may have been one of those cases that Andropov also. If I remember correctly, Andropov, there was some case that he learned about through the KGB UFO files, and he decided it was such a serious problem that he basically gave an order that the entire Red military establishment was to start keeping track of UFO files and stuff and reporting to a particular branch of the KGB. So imagine turning the entire Red Army, Navy, and Air Force into a UFO data collection.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it would have been a huge operation. And I think that UFO there at Voronezh was one of these cases that made it into those files because they did a documentary on Paul, what's his name? He's the American guy that actually was raised in Russia, Paul.
It's Paul Stonehill.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I think he did a some sort of documentary on that case. Yeah, you laid down.
Interesting. So many witnesses. Yes. There were witnesses. It was in a park that it happened. So there were witnesses who were children, and then 30 years later, they show up. They're on the internet. And they're still talking about it.
Well, wasn't that also a case where there was an actual physical crash or disc involved with this?
Yes.
That they were seeing.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people that saw this thing. It wasn't something that they could easily keep quiet.
They had a Ted Koppel report on
it. I remember that. I remember that. Yeah, I do remember that.
And around
Voronezh is nuclear facilities.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's also interesting because we know the UFOs to like those nuclear facilities. That was one weird signature. The second weird signature, also from the 80s, was Chernobyl.
Yes.
And they started talking about Chernobyl immediately and saying Russian forces had gone in there and everything around it was now classified.
Well, there were a lot of classified installations around Chernobyl, not just nuclear. There were big over-the-horizon radar facilities there as well. You know, this business that you asked earlier about nuclear war and the Ukraine and Russia and so on, the other thing that Mr. Globaloney has to factor in here is precisely E.T. because those UFOs have demonstrated abilities to turn our and Soviet or Russian missiles on and off.
Yes.
You know, so if we decide to fight a nuclear war, will we be allowed?
Right. Yeah, right. Someone else seems to have a great interest.
Yeah.
When we get to that level.
Yeah.
And this goes back because over and over again, the CIA blocked the presidents from meeting with their counterparts in Russia without one of their people or a State Department person present.
Yep.
And you have to wonder over and over again, you know, from JFK to Reagan to Trump, that they didn't want this meeting to take place because they're going to talk about the UFO file, as Gorbachev said Reagan did.
Yes, and I strongly suspect that that little meeting on Air Force One that Trump and Putin had,
yeah,
apparently, where apparently the translators were not allowed,
mm-hmm.
That to me is very interesting because you have to wonder exactly what were they talking about.
Yeah.
At that time, there was no big major American-Russian problem.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly what was so important that they had to ditch the Russian skivs and ditch their translators and crowd into Air Force One, into the skiff on that plane, and have a little private tete-a-tete. What was that about?
Yes.
And Putin has never talked about it, and neither has Trump.
It's not explained. Absolutely. It's
not explained. And that is kind of worrisome. There had to have been something of high importance and moment for the two of them to do that. You know, it's the Reagan-Gorbachev-Reykjavik scenario all over again.
Yeah.
And yeah. In Putin's case, it's possible because he speaks English.
Right.
You know, so who knows?
That's a major asset.
That's a major asset to have right there because he can tell if his translators are, and the American translators are giving him exactly what's being said.
Mm-hmm.
That's incidentally a little advantage that Stalin had that most people don't know.
Oh, interesting.
He spoke a little English.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. This really makes sense.
It's kind of like that mythology about Charlemagne not being able to write.
Oh, really?
Do you know why?
Why?
He was left-handed.
Ah.
And at that time, that was considered the mark of the demons.
Right.
So I strongly suspect that he was able to read and write. He just concealed the fact that he was left-handed.
Interesting. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the blind Doja of Venice. Right. Yes, I'm completely blind, but yes, I'll lead you storming the walls of Constantinople. Yeah, right.
It's amazing. When you see signatures like that, it seems to be somehow the plane in particular in Foreign Edge, I was like, the odds to me just seemed like pretty odd that that would be the first thing out of the gate. And I remember thinking, I hadn't thought of that story in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to think about because immediately as the war heated up, we had Elon Musk going in there with Starlink and saying, you know what, I'm going to provide you internet if those bad Russians knock it out.
Right.
Which in effect, and they were like, thumbs up, Elon, which basically made him like a space president. Lending aid to a land country, right? And I was like, who elected this guy space president?
Yeah, who elected this guy the preserver of freedom of speech? And you know, who put the burr in his mouth to go buy a controlling interest in Twitter?
Right.
Yeah. You know, I have to wonder, what's your game? You know,
right.
You're not doing this because you're all of a sudden Mr. Altruism, huh?
I don't think so.
No, I'm not buying that.
Once I saw the Starlink connection with Ukraine, I said, oh, is this to install something, this idea that this is how we got to a certain type of space control of things on the ground?
Yes, and let's remember the other problem with the Ukraine. that there's a space connection in all of this, I would not be a bit surprised. Mm-hmm. The reason being that one of the first things that happened after the West put all the sanctions on Russia was Dmitry Rogozin, who's head of Roscosmos, their space agency, immediately suspended all sales of Russian rockets to the United States. Now, right. We don't have a space program, folks, without those Russian rockets.
Yeah.
It isn't there. And his comment was, let the Americans ride into space on their brooms.
Getting too close to the truth on that.
Yeah, getting way too close to the truth on that one. But the other thing that we've got to remember about the Ukraine and about Russia are GMOs.
Oh, right. Yes.
Because the Biden-Nenko family is also heavily involved. I remember talking about this with George Ann Hughes.
Wow.
Was heavily involved in getting special privileges, port privileges, for the Ukraine, for companies like Bayer, Monster, Santo, and so on and so forth, so that the Ukraine could go full tilt into GMOs, turn the breadbasket of Europe into a GMO exporting country.
Wow.
Russia, of course, at the same time, said no to GMOs. So the other problem we've got to remember, and again, GMOs is billions of dollars worth of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the other thing we've got to remember is those GMOs can cross borders very easily.
Right. Yes.
So that's in the background here. There are many levels to what's going on in the Ukraine. NATO, nuclear weapons, GMOs, money laundering, you know, on and on the list can go. This is not just an operation with just one motivation. There are several.
And absolutely.
Russia, I think, so far, Russia is playing its anti-Mr. Globaloney cards very well.
Yeah, no question. If they can get out of this role of being the aggressor in the middle of all this, then they could do themselves a lot of good as well. I think what's interesting to me when I'm looking at this is a couple of weird things reminded me of something that you said, which was a couple of years ago, this news agency in Russia reported, you know, the Russians are going to look into whether or not the Americans actually went to the moon. Which was weird enough, I thought, at the time, because, of course, you always think they have that data, and that's almost like raising a card out there and saying, as a bluff, we're going to expose the fact that something different happened.
Right, right.
And then we had a military leader in Russia recently come out and say, the Americans have no space program.
Mm-hmm.
Something unusual about the flavor of these comments. You know, you pointed out before that with their satellite technology, they know a lot about 9/11, for example.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yes. No question about it. They've done their own JFK investigations. So they're holding a lot of cards in terms of how America is perceived in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem.
That's a huge problem because they're starting to play those cards.
Yeah.
The key here is the way they've handled the biolabs. Because we had the Russian lieutenant general that is in charge, essentially, of the Department of the Ministry of Defense that handles biowarfare issues, both offensive and defensive biowarfare issues. This, you know, a lieutenant general's getting up there, you know.
Yeah.
And he gave a full briefing. In fact, I blogged about it. He gave a full briefing on these biolabs, published the documents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So to me, that's this after the United States initially denied that we our hands are pure. We don't do anything like that. We're the exceptional nation. I mock because I'm just sick of that crap. I am absolutely sick of that crap.
Yeah.
Because we've been caught red-handed developing bioweapons in a foreign country on the borders of another foreign country that has served notice to us that we don't want you building bioweapons next to our country.
Right. Yeah, right. That's a very blatant situation.
Yeah, exactly. And we've been caught red-handed, and they're publishing this information. To me, Daniel, this is another indicator that as far as the Russians are concerned, the gloves are going to come off. And I, as you say, there's all sorts of nifty stuff they could start talking about.
Yeah.
9/11, JFK, GMO foods, Monster Santo, Biden's laptop, you name it. They've probably got some intelligence.
Unbelievable. Now, that's a very dangerous set of facts.
That's a very dangerous set of facts. And here's the other problem. Inside of Russia, Putin is polling at about 83%.
Oh, wow.
That's considerably better than Mr. Biden is polling here. So, in other words, inside of Russia, anything that the Russians reveal is probably going to be believed by most of their population. The real problem is outside of Russia.
Hmm.
But the way the rest of the world is behaving towards Russia, even after this invasion of the Ukraine, tells me that anything Russia does in the field of trying to mold world opinion is probably going to play quite well outside of the West. Mm-hmm. And we can't afford to have it play well outside of the West. Our friends are dropping like flies.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know so much about Russian history and the culture and Putin.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to kind of read Putin's mind a little bit,
mm-hmm.
what do you see going on here?
Well, number one, Putin is exactly what he presents himself. He is a Russian Orthodox believer.
Right.
And what that means as far as that way of thinking is he is all about, there's a fellow on YouTube by the name of Dr. Steve Turley.
Mm-hmm.
Who is also Eastern Orthodox. And he gets Putin largely because of that fact. And he has been saying, like me, that Russia, he says that Russia is trying to build a civilizational state.
Interesting.
I've been saying that Russia's been involved in an experiment in building the first post-postmodernist state. But we mean the same thing mm-hmm. when we use these terms. In that what Russia is doing is it's turning very deliberately away from the secularized version of globalism that it was under the Soviet Union. And it's turning back to its traditional cultural roots, which if you simply cannot understand Russia without Orthodoxy, you simply cannot. Mm-hmm. Because there isn't a Russia without Orthodoxy. That's the point.
Interesting.
And Putin thinks in this way. So if you want to get inside the mind of Vladimir Putin, you have to understand, number one, he's not going to be in favor of women ministers. Number two, he's not going to be in favor of Pussy Riot or whatever that rock group name
yes.
that decided that they're going to go sing and carry on inside of a Russian church during services.
Right.
It ain't going to happen, folks.
Yeah.
You're not going to have Russia recognizing LGBTQ rights in the same way that the West does mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
Because what you're dealing with here is a man in that respect, at least, very much like Stalin, who insists on a public traditional morality.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the bottom line. And that's really what the West means by regime change.
Yes.
It wants to get rid of that whole move to traditional culture and install its own progressivist secularism. So, in other words, this is a real clash of cosmology that we're dealing with here.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it's not going to go away overnight. You know, I've told people many times, as if you're Eastern Orthodox, the West, you experience the West as something that hates you, and it hates you because it does not understand you. It doesn't understand you because you're a Catholic civilization that's not papal.
Right.
And it hasn't been for 1,000 years. That's a
moment. Interesting.
So we're dealing with a real civilizational conflict here. And the reason that Russia and China talk about strange bedfellows, I mean, if you look at the communist Chinese, it's the Han Dynasty.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is. But the reason they get along is they understand each other in this sense that they're about their civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that their civilization and that of the progressive secular West are two different things.
Absolutely.
Well, the Confucian idea is the mandate of heaven, the well-run nation, the well-run civilization gives you the mandate of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is a very, very traditional way of thinking. And we simply have lost that in the West. So there is a reason that China and Russia, a deep cultural reason, and those same reasons are ultimately going to drive them apart. I'm convinced of that. But they're the reason that they're able to cooperate now. Same thing with India. You know, again, you're dealing with a very, very old Vedic civilization here.
Right.
You know, that has a literature that is goes back centuries before the Bible. So how are you going to convince that civilization to turn its back on itself overnight? Exactly. You know, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So that's what's in Putin's mind. And when the Russians say that the West is not agreement capable, and the United States in particular, they mean it. And when they're calling us the empire of lies, they mean it. You know, the shoe's on the other foot. It's not the evil empire anymore versus the righteous United States. We're the empire of lies.
All right. And rebuilding some respect from those countries and trust.
Yeah.
The problem is this group that has been controlling things in the West, they're after their own citizens. I mean, they're after Christianity in America. So it's not even like America versus Russia. It's this thing.
It's this progressivist thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're it's not just Christians that they're after. They're after Jews. They're after Muslims. You know, right. They're after anything that is not progressive.
Yes.
You know, and secular. That's what they're after. So, you know, if you're a Muslim or a Jew or a Christian or a Buddhist or what have you, you're on their hit list. You know, they don't want you.
So the modern version of Russia doesn't hold up with them and their transhumanist AI version of what the future should be like.
Bingo.
You know, neither do Christians or traditional Jews or Muslims in America.
Right. Because the AI machine can't compute that.
Right.
You know, those are all things that, like it or not, humanizes. And as far as, you know, I sometimes wonder, Catherine and I are sometimes wondering, are we really dealing with people that are in charge of this, or are these people listening to a computer program?
Yeah.
You know, I'm serious. I seriously entertain that scenario, because otherwise our leadership, Daniel, is they're making decisions that are insane.
Yes.
And I can't account for it. And I don't know how else to account for it other than maybe some sort of mind manipulation, or they honestly believe that they've managed to program their supercomputers to game out all of this stuff and spit out an answer for them. You know, that's all I can think of.
Well, this is the kind of thing that we wouldn't find out for 40 years, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't get too many whistleblowers on that.
Right.
This is really interesting because what it says to me is, you know, something dramatic happened over the past decade, but particularly during the 2016 election when the press was like, it doesn't matter anymore. We're not even going to keep a facade. We're just going to go crazy. Huh. And we're going to say things that are lies just to win.
Right.
And they went hardcore against Trump and all the things that he represented. Because whatever that was, regardless of Trump and his flaws, he had certain things, fundamentals, right. Wasn't into supporting and creating a new, better China. You know, right. he wanted to push all that back. Right. And also just the embrace of traditional, you know, Second Amendment, things like that, mm-hmm. not going along with the big trans culture piece. So they were like, we can't have that. It's going to stop us. And one of the things that Professor Peter Dale Scott says about that is the money managers, the guys in the middle, you know, those were salad days when they had Obama, mm-hmm. and they couldn't afford. They were just looking at this financially and saying, we can't afford this guy to come in. So they were doing everything, including running the CIA out there. And the CIA, when they get that involved, that they expose themselves and they become anchors on MSNBC, you know something's wrong. John Brennan is like, you know, has a weekly show. I mean,
the mighty Wurlitzer is no longer hiding the pipes behind the screen. In the They're right out in the open now.
Amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Trump. Yeah, I agree that Trump was some sort of catalyst for them.
Yeah,
that, and I suspect what it was that Trump reared the ugly head of populism.
Yeah,
in their minds, what he really was he was rearing the not so ugly head of patriotism,
mm-hmm.
and pride in the country.
Right,
which is, you know, is a dogma directly contrary to globalony.
That's anathema, right?
And for that same reason, they hate Putin, because Putin is not a. To a certain extent, he will espouse globalist ideals, but those ideals are never in opposition to, in his formulations, to a full-blown Russian patriotism and placement of Russian interests at the core of his political vision. So, in other words, it's not this multicultural swamp that he's promoting. And right. The same thing with Mr. Xi.
Yes.
You know, here's a Chinese communist, you know, a Maoist. But if you look at him and look at his policies, his interest is promoting China's interest.
Right.
And therefore his own with it, of course. But these are not globalists in the sense that a Western globalist is a globalist. These are not Christine Lagarde's. These are not Karstens and people like that, of that ilk. And this is why they're targets. Well, Trump was the same thing. Trump was the same.
Yes.
Thing.
Yes.
And I suspect that if there was any understanding of Trump and Roy Cohn, that's where the real animus against Trump came from. Because whatever you say about Roy Cohn and his being, you know, the original swamp creature, Cohn was not anti-patriotic.
Right.
You know, and he was not a liberal progressive. You don't get to be chief counsel for Joseph McCarthy by being a liberal progressive. So, you know, I suspect that the animus, if there was any, against Roy Cohn and therefore against Trump, that's the reason why.
A connection in the background. Yeah.
You know, if Trump can get along with this guy, then there's something wrong.
Yeah. And he knows where the bodies are buried.
And he knows. Roy Cohn? Oh, yes. All of them. Yeah, he sure does.
That Nixon-Trump connection also.
Oh, yes.
It gave Trump something extra. Uh-huh. Than just a business leader. It gave uh-huh. him that ability to know what their priorities were at that yeah. level. Yeah. if you were to look at all this, you know, I'm going to bring the UFO piece back in here for a moment, mm-hmm. because there's a huge report that came out that the DIA gave to the Sun newspaper in the UK. And it is loaded with some of the strangest reports that came out just in the last week. You know, you've had guys trying to get FOIA requests on this thing from these guys for years and nothing happened. Suddenly the Sun gets together with them and here's all the files. And they are the most bizarre files. They are like, you know, unwanted pregnancies from aliens.
I saw an email of, okay, go ahead.
This whole, but it's not the normal, hey, we're having, you know, like some sightings and here's some debris or any of that. It is all the weird cases. Simultaneously, the CIA is putting these guys out saying, I was a CIA agent, but I was also an abductee. And they're going around the circuit. One of these guys is John Ramirez. And he's like, I had all these alien experiences and all that.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You're telling me now you've got a bunch of CIA agents that are claiming to have been abductees.
Yes. John Ramirez is one. Jim Semivan is the other one. And they're in that circuit. One of them just got interviewed. Semivan just got interviewed by Whitley Strieber.
Oh, boy.
Credibly. Saying, let's go through your experience. Well, I was taken on a table, you know. Uh-huh. This is a wave. That you don't see that every day, and you don't see this release every day.
No.
What's going
color on? Color me highly suspicious.
Yeah.
I'll be very blunt. If all of a sudden we're hearing about CIA agents or personnel that are abductees, I'm about as ready to believe that from this lying media that we have seen lie through its teeth off the charts since 2016, at least. Russia collusion, Hillary dossier, Hillary emails, Benghazi, COVID. Now all of a sudden we're supposed to believe them when they're telling us that the CIA just coincidentally had many of his agents abducted. Color me skeptical.
Yeah.
It sounds to me, quite honestly, and I know this is going to upset a lot of people, it sounds to me, quite honestly, like they're starting to prep the ET threat narrative.
Yes.
I wouldn't put it past them. This is a desperate group of people that sense that their power is slipping away. I wouldn't put it past them to try and fake things like that. Not saying that.
Yeah.
Not saying that it will, but I get very suspicious. You know, I remarked to Catherine recently, we just recorded her first quarter wrap up. And I remarked to her that I had just finished rereading David Temple. Oh, the guy at Temple University, Jacobs.
Oh, David Jacobs.
Yeah, David Jacobs' book about abductees. And it's an interesting book because, you know, he's trying to figure out, well, what are these people saying and experiencing? And one of the things that he brings out over and over and over again is that people report that these alleged ETs have no sense of personal identity. They act like they're a collective, a hive.
Yeah.
And they don't understand music.
Interesting.
Which I thought was really very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, imagine a world with no understanding of music. To me, that's just it doesn't compute. But it's interesting to me because we're looking at a society that increasingly thinks like a hive.
Right, right.
I mean, progressivism is just a hive mind gone nuts. So I just, yeah, it is. Yeah. It really is. And I just can't bring myself to trust a government that has lied so much on other things that it wouldn't lie on something like this.
Yes.
You know, I go back to something I mentioned in Saucers, Swastikas, and PsyOps when Otto Skorzeny mentioned that he had seen this incredible technology, and it was perfectly designed or suited for use, quote unquote, in psychological operations behind enemy lines.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I think they're prepping that narrative too. I really
it just
think.
Hangs a quote like that hangs out there in history.
It does. It really does.
As does von Braun's predictions.
Yep. Well, Hermann Oberth.
Yes.
We had help.
Right.
And not the slightest little bit or shred of proof. He just tossed it out there.
Mm.
Now, maybe they did have help. But the guy is also a Nazi.
Yeah.
And they're a little known for doing something called lying.
Yeah. CIA kind of takes up on that lead.
CIA kind of takes right off in that lying thing. Yeah.
Trained liars.
Trained liars. Yes. Jolyon, Jolyon West.
Yeah,
you know, the mind control guy, and getting together to do hypno sessions with Timothy McVeigh.
Oh,
you know, come on, folks.
you know, we're going to do that show. We have to do
that. We're going to do the Timothy McVeigh Jolyon West show. Hey, I'm game.
I found out things about West and Ruby. So,
West and Ruby, West and McVeigh. Oh, don't get me started on the Oklahoma City bombing, folks.
Wow,
we'll be here all day.
That is fascinating. I'm telling you, the thing that you brought forward about that case, about the German piece and them coming in and grabbing this guy and bringing him back. Unbelievable.
Oh, Andreas Strassmeier?
Yeah.
Who happens to be a captain in the German military whose father is minister without portfolio for German reunification under Chancellor Kohl.
Wow. How do you leave that out of the history books?
How does that
would seem and, like the two had something to do with each other.
And what's this guy doing over here in a white supremacist military group doing Civil War battlefield reenactments? That's that's the story.
Andy the German.
Right? Andy the German. is off refighting the Battle of Spotsylvania. Just nonsense. I mean, you have to laugh at the sheer chutzpah of these people.
Absolutely.
Oh my.
Absolutely fascinating, Joseph. Incredible. Last question for you on this, and it's remarkable. When you put together some of that history, and when you see, you know. What I see brewing in the background is the UFO part as the ultimate emergency powers grab.
Oh, yes. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So when you see like Biden 29%, you know, Trudeau less than 30%, and all these people with no popularity, he proved during the trucker convoy that he would press the emergency button to save himself and go after their bank accounts. So the emergency powers thing, that seems to be the key from Newsom saying, I'll do martial law in California. Is the UFO piece, the UFO threat, the ultimate emergency powers thing, enabling act from, you know, 1933, 34, brought up to date 2022, why else is the media so in love with it?
Well, I think that's precisely it. Because if you look at Mr. Globaloney, they need a global threat to institute a global government. And so far, you'll notice there's an old report called The Report from Iron Mountain. I don't know if you've ever heard
of it. Oh, yeah.
Well, it was a joke. It was a complete fabrication.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm with that group of people that thinks that maybe it was a fabrication to deflect attention away from the reality.
And
I'm still one of those people that thinks maybe even John Kenneth Galbraith was the real brains behind the hoax.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a school of thought out there that thinks that he came up with the whole thing.
It have to be somebody as ingenious as he was.
Precisely. Yeah, precisely. But anyway, report from Iron Mountain. If you haven't read it, folks, it's something to read just to familiarize yourself with the thinking of people like this. Because it basically comes up with five things that they could use to try and promote a global government. And each of the five things they point out, whoever authored this thing, points out that if they're going to institute a global government, they have to have a global crisis.
Right.
And if you look at what they talk about, they talk about pandemics, a health crisis. They talk about an environmental problem, or they talk about a weather problem, and then of course they talk about extraterrestrial invasion.
Right.
So, you know, there's five things. Look what has happened since 2016. They tried the pandemic.
Problems,
precisely. It ran into a problem. Now they're trying the climate change option, the weather problem, the environment problem. And that's not working out too well either, although it's working out better than the planned scandemic, because they've got the technology to manipulate the weather. We're supposed to have, I mean, it's already April here, almost the middle of April, and we're still wearing our winter jackets outside.
Wow.
You know, this is nuts.
Wow.
And next week it's supposed to be wham, bam, slam, dam. We're supposed to get all of this severe weather, mm-hmm. followed by more cold and then hot, you know, back and forth. So the weather thing is working out. But they have been, if you've read Report from Iron Mountain, they have been carefully seeding the ET threat for a long time, and they keep ratcheting it up very, very slowly. It's amazing to watch these people work.
Yes.
Because they do it in dribs and drabs, and you think, well, it's just another weird story in the New York Times.
Right.
No, you're watching the mighty Wurlitzer. These people are organists, and they know when to play the music and what stops to pull. That's exactly why they call it the Wurlitzer.
Wow.
I do see them prepping the ET narrative for the final emergency powers grab. The problem is, here's the problem. I think anybody that believes these people or their media from this point on is nuts. If you want to trust Boris Johnson and the BBC and the London Times when they tell you ET is invading, be my guest.
You're brainwashed or you're nuts?
You're brainwashed.
Or one of the two. Wow. It's so fascinating. And when you think about it, the signature of Hitler and the Enabling Act, what's the central core thing it gave him the ability to do?
Dictate reality.
Wow.
He could take all of that nonsense that Goebbels' propaganda ministry is spewing out and make it reality.
Amazing.
Yeah. That to me is what happened. Because you look at the newsreels inside of Nazi Germany, particularly in that period right before and right after the war began. And it's like they're living in this make-believe world.
Hmm.
You see these films of, you know, this is after the British and French declaration of war. You see these films of Germans in Berlin going shopping.
Wow.
You know, like nothing has changed. The Führer has everything under control.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And sooner or later, reality came home to bite him, and it will come home to bite Mr. Globaloney. You know, earlier you pointed out that Poland and Lithuania, which has really got to scare the Russians. Lithuania is involved now.
That's great.
Lithuania and Poland actually seriously proposed cutting off the Kaliningrad Oblast from the rest of Russia. Lithuania.
Wow.
The mighty Lithuanian Navy is going to interdict the Russian Baltic Sea Fleet and cut off Kaliningrad. And, you know, I thought, okay, if Putin really wanted to do a number on these people just out of pure spite and playfulness, he'd give the whole damn thing back to Germany. Oh, voila, you're dealing with Prussia again. Oh, joy. You know, it's just nuts. And I'm thinking the same thing about E.T. You know, they might try to play the fake E.T. invasion card. Their problem is the real thing might show up.
You're right.
Then they've got a problem.
Exactly. Wow, incredible. The final thing, if you were look at that scale of Hitler and the Enabling Act to mm-hmm. when World War II started by them going into Poland, mm-hmm. There's a number of steps along the way, mm-hmm. March on the Rhine, mm-hmm. the Anschluss, and mm-hmm. these different things. What stage do you think we're in now leading up to World War II with us, World War III?
Well, I hate to tell you this. I think you're at the radio station in Gleiwitz false flag operation stage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah, we're way past Anschluss and all the other stuff here.
I was hoping you were going to say we're somewhere around there.
No. I think you're at the Gleiwitz false flag station because they are prepping that narrative. And they are really pushing this. Russia is going to launch all these cyber attacks. Well, you know, like I say, you're just providing cover for Russia to do precisely that.
Wow.
You know, after you create your own false flags. Russia is going, I'm convinced Russia is going to start notching up the covert operations game. Absolutely.
Wow.
They'd be fools not to, because we've already signaled that we're going to.
Right. By provoking them, we give them the nothing to lose card
right.
over and over again.
Right.
But that's a big losing hand for us. You've pointed this out.
Yeah.
So whoever's driving this policy is driving us over the cliff.
Well, I go back to the Madrid Circular.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what gives the fascist international maneuvering room? Get Russia and the United States fighting each other.
Right.
Gives them perfect maneuvering room. You know, and I don't put that past them. I really don't. I don't.
Incredible. Joseph, remarkable. Off the charts. Of course, everyone can go to GizaDeathStar.com for all of your work is there. You continue right now with doing the regular blogs. I know that on YouTube, the activity stop, you're doing it directly off GizaDeathStar.com.
I'm doing it directly off GizaDeathStar.com. I'm doing it as a little podcast, not video anymore, because I've had it with YouTube. I've nearly had it with Facebook, because Facebook just now gave me this turn on Facebook Protect to unlock your account business.
Oh.
Why bother with these people?
Yeah.
If they're going to censor conservatives, they're going to censor conservatives. And, you know, exactly. I'll start a newsletter or something. Or
yes, absolutely.
Just retire. I don't know. you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just they're ultimately cutting their own throats. This is why I can't figure these people out. They're just cutting their own throat. I'm waiting to see what kind of fun that Elon Musk is going to have with Twitter employees. I can just see these heads rolling down Yeah. Rolling down the street, bouncy, bouncy, bouncy.
Well, they
check this.
When they removed the president's account, that was kind of the end of
anything. Yeah, that's just nuts. You know.
Well, let's not forget the last video we did. We had to reboot the video, and they said we were impersonating a historical event. That video had more problems on more platforms, not just YouTube, by the way.
Oh, I'm not surprised. These people are nuts.
Well, thank God you're still doing the work that you're doing. And
I haven't croaked yet.
You seem great.
Well, thank you.
And I'm looking forward to having you back.
All right. Well, thanks for having me back, Daniel. I enjoyed it.
Joseph, just incredible information. Of course, everyone can find you at GizaDeathStar.com. Remember to be on board at DarkJournalist.com for our newsletter, keeping you up to date on all the exciting shows and interviews that we have coming up for you. Join us for the X Series on Friday nights. See you soon. Pray for peace.